I invite your attention to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1. We're going to begin a new study today, study of the book of 1 Thessalonians. Today we look at the potential of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me as we read from the precious Word of God? 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 1. There we find these words. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the Church of Thessalonica in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your faith, your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and to Achaia who believed. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we rejoice in your goodness. We thank you for your word. And now, Lord, as we look into your word, I pray for your guidance, that, Lord, you would open up our hearts to receive it, that, Lord, you would pour out your Spirit upon us in this place, that, Lord, today lost souls will be saved and the saved will be drawn closer to you. Be glorified, O Lord, in all that's done. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Paul started this letter to Thessalonica with a phrase that just immediately catches your attention, and that is in verse 3, he remembered without ceasing their work of faith, their labor of love, their patience of hope. I want you to know this church at Thessalonica was an outstanding church. You can just tell by the way Paul addresses them. They were a church that were alive in Christ. They were vibrant. They were moving forward for the glory of God. As I thought about this, I looked at this, I thought, wow, kind of reminds me of Victory. I know I'm a little partial because I'm the pastor, okay? But I love this church, all right? And God is doing fantastic things at Victory. Souls are being saved. Lives are being changed. And, you know, I go back and I think about 1 year and a half ago when we began this building project. And I want to take just a moment and brag on you. Can I do that? I mean, I preach at you every week. Can I brag on you a little bit? Okay, well, skip the bragging. Forget it. No, in all seriousness, I'm honored to be your pastor. I want to know, in the last year, I have been, this was the third building program that I have been involved with in ministry. And this is by far the most exciting, the best one I've ever been involved in. Okay? I start with the committee that was up here a while ago. Those guys handled it. Brother Greg and Brother Michael, day to day, when somebody had to be called and decisions had to be made, those guys were there. And I want to say thank you, Brother Michael. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Greg. Thank you to the committee. Because I'll tell you something. Can I be honest with you? Boy, we're just never going to get anywhere today. We have to go through this every Sunday. Okay? Can I be honest with you?
Amen.
Okay. I want to tell you, I said this is the third building program that I've been in. Something that happens to pastors when churches go through building ministries is that when that building program is finished, so is the pastor. Have you ever noticed that? And all he wants is out. Right? I've been there twice. But between the building committee and Greg and Michael, I want you to know I don't want out this time. All right? I don't. I'm fired up. I'm ready to move forward. And it's because of the way y'all have handled this building ministry. What a huge blessing. And I want you to know that from the pastor's point of view, y'all have kept a lot of things off me that I didn't need on me. And I appreciate that so very much. Victory is a great church. You've not only taken ownership and responsibility, but you've given. My goodness, I've never seen a building program that has been financed like this one has. Outstanding. When the members of a church realize that their blessings come from God and they give those blessings back into the kingdom work. Fantastic. Thank you. I commend you. And once again, it's an honor to be your pastor. But I want you to know today that the glory today is not the new building. It's really nice. I'm excited about it. But the glory will be what we do with the opportunities that the new building brings. Okay? How we put that building and that process to use. And today, I ask you to look beyond the paint and beyond the sheetrocks and the carpet and concrete and everything else and see the opportunity. Because today, beloved, Victory Missionary Baptist Church begins to change the world. Well, that's a big statement, preacher. Yes, it is. I'm ready to go. What about you? Here we go. You know how we're going to change the world? It's not going to be with buildings. It's not going to be in our own power. The way we're going to change the world is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you're going to have to understand, and I'm going to have to understand the power and the potential that rest in that gospel. And we start with the personal potential. The difference that it makes in your life, even if you're a child of God, and especially if you're a child of God. How can this gospel, this powerful gospel, change you? Well, first of all, you need to realize that it is a power-filled message. Paul said, our gospel came to you in power, in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance. These are words of conviction, words of life-changing power. And we, beloved, have the very same gospel that the Apostle Paul preached in his day. We have the same gospel that changed the people of Thessalonica. We have the same opportunity that they had in Paul's day. And you know, here's the key. You ready for the key? You ready for the key? All right. Stay with me. Please. This is much more fun when we go on this journey together. All right? The key, Paul said, for and verse 5, for our gospel. Our gospel. You see, there's a difference between the gospel and our gospel. Paul could call it his gospel because he had experienced it. He knew that his life had been changed. He knew where he was going when he died. He knew that he had a God-given mission in this life because it was his gospel. How do you view it? Listen, when it's personal, it's your gospel. Not that it's your good news, it's God's good news, but you have to take ownership of that good news. As I considered that, you know what I discovered about myself? Sometimes I get gospel lazy. By gospel lazy, I mean I come to church. I even enjoy church. I preach. I enjoy preaching. I pastor, go visit, go to the hospital, do what other pastors do. But you know what sometimes I forget to do? I forget sometimes to be intentionally looking for opportunities that God sets in front of me to be a gospel or a sharer of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I completely overlook. And do you have that problem? I mean, let's face it. I think there are a lot of Christians today who come to church. Coming to church is great. Amen. If it's not, it should be. Right? Coming to church is great. Coming to church is easy. There are a lot of Christians today that are serving on committees. Fine, wonderful, no problem. You may be visiting the sick and making hospital visits and ministering to the elderly. Great, but how many people do you share Jesus Christ with? If we're going to change the world, we're going to have to step out and do things a little differently than we've done in the past. And we cannot afford to be gospel lazy and miss opportunities that God sets right before us. We can't afford it. If we're going to change the world, we've got to realize the message that is before it that we have is full of power. It can change somebody's life, but it will never change anyone if they don't hear it. Yeah? We've got to realize the power that's there. I mean, have you ever backed up and said, I'd tell them about Jesus, but it wouldn't do any good? Have you ever looked at somebody and said, well, I'd invite them to church, but they won't come? No. Get rid of the defeatist attitude. You have the power of the gospel. The power that the church has been built and has survived throughout these 2,000 years since the days of Jesus Christ. It still works, beloved. The gospel still works. And we've got to get that into our mind. We've got to also know that it's a power-filled mission. Look at what Paul said again. And I always, you know, y'all know how I love to look at the words and examine the definitions. But today, the words that caught my attention were little words. Like, our gospel. And at the end of verse 5, what kind of men we were for your sake. Note for your sake there. Another problem I have with myself is I sometime am a God glutton. I let that word sink in. Sometimes I'm a God glutton. In that it's easy for me to be selfish about my God. When I'm sick, I pray, oh Lord, heal me. And I ask everyone else to pray for me because I'm sick. When I have financial trouble, I call out to God, God, deliver me from this financial trouble. When I had trouble with my children as they were being raised, oh Lord, help my children. And I find that most of my spiritual life was centered around me. And you know what I've discovered? God is not centered around me. I'm to be centered around God. There's a big difference. And I'm not telling you don't pray when you're sick and don't ask for God's blessing. I'm not. But is that the focus? Is that your only focus? If it is, you have become a God glutton. It's not all about you. You really want to see God's power? Do you really want to see God's power? Do you really want to see God's power? Amen. Okay, here's how. You ready? Start sharing the gospel. Alright? Do you realize the really awesome displays of God's power in the New Testament, I'm going to say 99% of the time, were displays so that people could hear the message. On the day of Pentecost, can you imagine? These guys were there, and on that day of Pentecost, it said the Holy Spirit came down and sat upon them as a dove, and they were filled with the Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues. I'm going to tell you what, if somebody were to break out speaking, and understand tongues are languages, But if you've never been educated in Spanish and you break out speaking Spanish so that a certain group of people over here can understand the gospel, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go, wow. Wow. Peter and John going into the temple a short time later, they're going into the temple and they experience a lame man. And the lame man's asked, begging for alms. And so Peter says, well, I'll tell you, buddy, silver and gold, I don't have any. But that which I have, I give to you. And you know what? He's rise up and walk. That guy got up and walked. He was lame. Means he couldn't walk from his birth. And you know why? That was not done so the man could walk. That was done so Peter could preach to the crowd that gathered after the man had been healed. And that's what happened. Yeah. You want to see the power of God? Let the gospel be your focus. Let me ask you about the people you know. First of all, look at the people around you. Are they saved? Now, some of you are sitting by your husband and your wife. You got it easy there, right? Now, some of you are sitting by people that you really don't know what their spiritual condition is. Guess what? It's your job to find out. Okay? You say, well, Brother Doug, I don't want to offend them. Let me ask you a question. Do you think they will be more offended now if you were to ask them, are you a child of God? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Or when they get into hell and lift up their eyes in hell and they remember back, I sat by that person every Sunday and they never asked me if I was saved. I'm going with it's better to offend them now. What about you? Oh, you see, I want you to understand the mission and the power and the responsibility that you and I have. Because we will never realize the true potential of Victory Missionary Baptist Church until we begin to be intentional in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I understand. You can't go out on this. You may not go out on the street and flag down every car and get. I'm not suggesting that. But I am suggesting that the people that God puts in your path, you should be able to share Jesus with them. Oh, Brother Doug, what if I say something wrong? It's not about you. Get you off the brain, okay? If God can give His disciples back in their day, if He could give them the words to say, He can give you the words to say. All right? So to back up and say, I'm just afraid I'll say something wrong, is to back up and say, God, I don't trust you. How? Today, we begin to change the world, and it starts with you and me as individuals. Okay? I want you to see the personal potential, your potential as a child of God. You may not always get to carry everybody down the Roman road, but I want to tell you what, you can't always invite everybody to church. Do you realize? If in the next year, all of us were responsible for bringing one person to church, one person, we'd have to go to two services at Victory. Now listen, don't back up and say, I don't like that. No, don't do that. Because if God blesses with that kind of increase, then we've got to be ready to do whatever we have to do, right? I want you to see the potential. But it's only potential until you and I take ownership of it. It is my gospel. It is my responsibility to reach out to my neighbor. It is my responsibility to invite that person that I sit next to at school. It is my responsibility to get the message to this lost and dying world. I've got to go on. Why is it so important? It is so important because of the public potential of the gospel. Paul said in verse 5, he said, verse 6, He said, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. What happened? Paul went into Thessalonica. He started preaching Jesus, and folks started accepting Jesus as their Savior, and they were changed, and they become followers of Paul. The New American Standard translation says they became imitators. And imitators is somebody who follows the example of someone else. I find it awesome that Paul was the kind of man that said, you follow me and you'll always be following Jesus. Can you say that? Isn't that cool? But that's the way he was. This should challenge us as Christians, first of all, to be worth following. Okay? But secondly, can you imagine? Can you imagine the change in this world if people would change who they follow? That's wise, even if I do say so myself. If people could change who they're following, can you imagine the culture shift that we would have? If we would stop following Hollywood, you know, and quit trying to act like Hollywood, and wearing clothes and dresses that are cut up to here and blouses that are cut down to there, you know? If men would once again be men and teach the young men how to be men. If the young men would learn that you treat a woman with respect. You know, you don't slap her around and you don't talk ugly to her. You treat her and honor her as a creature of God. Husbands, if we would realize, if we would realize that it's our job to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And quit watching how Hollywood has a marriage today and they throw it away tomorrow. Can you imagine the change that would take place in our culture if we stop living the motto of do unto others before they do unto you, or stop the motto, you know, follow the money, and we threw aside all this worldly thinking and decided, hey, I'm going to follow someone worthwhile and say, I'm going to follow Jesus. Marriage would be restored. Honesty, integrity would once again be a mainstay of our society. Loving your neighbor would not be the exception, it would be the rule. Amen. Based on who we follow. That's what the gospel can do. That's the power that you and I hold. They became followers. They received the word. That word received, it means literally to welcome with hospitality. They were preached the word of God and they welcomed it. They were glad to hear from God. They didn't endure a sermon or wait till the preacher got finished to go eat. They listened. It went to their hearts. And they welcomed it as the word of God. Can you imagine, once again, if our country got back to the point where it honored and welcomed the Word of God as the Word of God again. Instead of thinking, well, that was just written by some man. Instead of thinking, let's get this out of our culture and out of our public view. You know? We've got to remove the statutes of the Ten Commandments and take it off the walls because we don't want to influence our children. What if it did once again begin to influence our children? Listen, have you ever looked at the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not kill. I don't want my kid to do that. Right? Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not lie. Is that so bad? Is it? No. Beloved, I think that the reason our society has thrown off the Word of God is because we've quit preaching it. Amen. We've quit pushing it. I find it amazing that In my mind, any non-believer could read the Ten Commandments and say, that's a good thing. Yeah? Much more believer. We go on. You became examples. Wow, can you imagine if our society had decent heroes to follow once again? Can you imagine? Listen, God does not care if you can score a trainload of touchdowns. God does not care, young people, if you can dunk a basketball or hit home runs or hit golf balls 400 yards. God doesn't care about those things. You know what God cares about? He cares about character. Okay? You see, I remember the day when the sports heroes were men of character. When our politicians, when you could trust them. You see, the problem today is our kids don't have anybody to follow. You see, the sports heroes, they do their end zone dance and then their life's in the sewer. And it's okay. I want to tell you something. It's not okay. Let me tell you something, young people. Children. You better weigh and weigh hard the people that you want to be like. Okay? Because most lives of a lot of the sports figures, a lot of the politicians, a lot of the public figures of today are garbage. And they'll put up this front. But the fact is, deep down inside, they're miserable. That's where sin leaves you. Oh, listen, beloved. The gospel can put examples back in our society again. But the gospel can take a character and give him character. But it will only make a difference if you and I become intentional in sharing the gospel. We go on. Paul finally said, and you turn verse 9. For they themselves declared concerning us what manner of entry we had to you. You turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. You turned to God from idols. What is an idol? An idol is anything you'd serve rather than God. One last, can you imagine? Can you imagine if we experienced a turn in our culture? You know, everything today, and churches are trying to be built on the culture and got to be culturally relevant. I think we need to have biblical relevance. Okay? I know we do. Because I want to tell you something. Culture changes. The Bible is forever. We have an opportunity to change the world. And beloved, we can change the world. If we'll stop complaining about how bad the world is and start being ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? I have no doubt this country is more messed up than probably we've ever been before. But the good news is God can fix it. Okay? God's still God. But you and I, we've got to change our mentality. Let me ask you something. when you leave here today, who you're going to go talk to. Let's be accountable. Who's your target for the week? If you don't have a target, I promise you, you won't hit it. I like shooting at targets. Beth and I, every once in a while, we'll go out, and I've got a little gun that we set up targets, and boy, we'll shoot. And I don't know that I'm going to take her with me anymore because she outshoots me every time. I'll miss the whole paper target, and she'll put it in a bullseye. But every once in a while, I'll hit the bullseye. But you know what? If there's no target, you never shoot. Who's your target this week? Friend? Relative? Somebody you go to school with? If you don't have a target, you need to change that right here, right now, and decide if you are truly a child of God, you're going to make a difference. Find your target. Then leave here on a deliberate mission, knowing that the power of the gospel message that you have can change that person's eternity. Okay? I'm going to ask you, next week, bring a guest so that they may hear the gospel. And if you're here today, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to listen to me, and I'm going to close up, okay? If you are not saved, the good news for you is you do not have to die and go to hell. All right? Beloved, there is a heaven, and there is a hell. And it's not God who sends people to hell. It's people who send people to hell. You will make a choice today. And that choice will be either to turn and go a different direction, or to stay right where you are and walk out the same way that you come in. Beloved, if you're not saved, please listen to me. And please take heed. You do not have to go to hell. All right? Hell was not created for you. It was created for Satan and his angels. But it is very, very real. And you will spend eternity either in heaven or in hell based upon who you choose today. You choose Jesus, who's the Son of God, who came to this earth and gave His life so that you could have eternal life. He died to take your punishment of your sins. That's what the death of Christ was about. Somebody had to pay for your sins, and Jesus did it because He loved you. Now, you've got to decide, where am I going to spend eternity? I'll keep doing what I'm doing, going down the same road, and when I die, hell will be my home. Or I will turn. You know what the word turn means? It literally means to turn around. Repent. Go a different direction. Listen, is what you're doing working? I mean, really, is it working? Oh, Brother Doug, I'm okay. I didn't ask you that. When you lay down your head on your bed at night and go to sleep, do you know that if you don't wake up the next morning, where you'll be? If you don't, beloved, God has brought you here today to give you the opportunity of salvation. Will you come to Jesus Christ today? If you're not saved, this invitation's for you. If you are saved and you've got a target in mind of someone that you know needs Jesus, they need to hear from you. Maybe it's an invitation to church. Maybe it's an invitation to our Sunday morning Bible study. But they need to hear from you, and you're a little nervous about it. Bathe it in prayer. I truly believe this altar should be used each week. Each week. Because if we're not bringing our burdens, if we're not personally, have issues to bring to the Lord, then we need to bring
those people to the Lord who are having issues. All right? And if you're going to witness next week, you're going to need the power of God. I suggest you get that power by praying before you go. Whatever your spiritual need is, maybe the Lord's leading you to become a member of this church. Maybe you need to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism and make your faith public. Okay? Whatever your spiritual need is, I beg you, listen to Jesus and do what He leads you to do. Father in heaven, thank You for the day. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for salvation through Jesus Christ. And thank You for the power and the potential of the gospel. Lord, we have the opportunity to make a difference, to change lives. Help us, Lord, to be deliberate, intentional in sharing the gospel, in sharing Jesus, inviting people to church, in putting ourselves in a position, Lord, where the world knows that we're Your children. Help us, Lord, to be examples. And help us, Lord, as a church, to carry out the Great Commission with all fervor. In Jesus' name I pray.